Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all lines will remain on a listen-only mode for the duration of today's conference. At the end of the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star, then one. Today's call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Rance Cleveland. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, and welcome to today's National Science Foundation webinar on the Real-Time Machine Learning, or RTML, program. My name is Rance Cleveland, and I am the Division Director for the Computing and Communication Foundations, or CCF, Research Division within the Computing and Information Science and Engineering Directorate at NSF. I would also like to introduce three other NSF people who will be speaking today as well. These are Dr. Phil Bartoli, who is the Division Director for Electrical Communications and Cyber Systems, or ECCS, Research Division within the Engineering Directorate at NSF. Dr. Sankar Basu, Program Director in CCF, and Dr. Jinshan Lin, Program Director in ECCS. Drs. Basu and Lin are the Cognizant Program Directors for the RTML program. The rest of the webinar will proceed as follows. After introductory remarks by me and Dr. Bartoli, Drs. Basu and Lin will provide an overview of the RTML solicitation. They will then entertain your questions until 4 p.m. Eastern Time or until all questions are answered, whichever comes first. If you have any questions about the solicitation after this meeting ends, please feel free to email them to Drs. Basu and Lin. Their email addresses are visible to you on the slide. Also, a video recording of the webinar, as well as the slides used, will be available on the SCIES website at the indicated address. The RTML program is a cross-cutting program that involves participation of two research divisions, namely SCIES and ECCS, from two different directorates, SCIES and Engineering, within NSF. It also involves a teaming arrangement with the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, through a separately managed but contemporaneous DARPA program. I will speak briefly about the importance of the topic from the CCF perspective. Then Dr. Bartoli will discuss ECCS's interest in the program as well. Let me first talk briefly about the structure of CCF. This division has four so-called clusters or focus areas: algorithmic foundations, communication and information foundations, foundations of emerging technologies such as quantum and biocomputing, and software and hardware foundations. Interest in machine learning, or ML, has grown explosively over the past few years, driven by the wide-ranging applications in many different areas of science and engineering, but also other fields such as business and social science. Machine learning often relies on the processing of massive amounts of data, often continuously streaming for training purposes, and this leads to questions about how to support these applications most efficiently in terms of time, but also energy consumption, from both a hardware and algorithmic perspective. The CCF division that I lead has algorithmic foundations and hardware foundations as two of its focus areas, and thus is a natural fit for a program like RTML, focused on developing transformative approaches to algorithmic and hardware co-design for machine learning applications. Indeed, the depth and breadth of these applications and the widely varying constraints they impose in terms of time and energy consumption require the research community to rethink the foundational aspects, both algorithmic and hardware, for implementing machine learning. I think these topics are very exciting, personally, and I'm looking forward to the research results that come out of this program. Let me now turn the floor over to Dr. Phil Bartoli, Division Director for ECCS.
Let me also welcome you on behalf of the Electrical Communications and Cyber Systems Division. Our division is organized in the following three clusters: Electronics, Photonics, and Magnetic Devices, or EPMD, Communications, Circuits, and Sensing Systems, CCSS, and Energy, Power, Control, and Networks, EPCN. Machine learning activities in ECCS are primarily concentrated in the CCCS and the EPCN clusters. Machine learning algorithms and advanced electronic hardware have long been an interest of the ECCS community, involving researchers in areas such as control, signal processing, information theory, and microelectronics. Recent work on machine learning algorithms that employ gradient descent to establish cost function is an extension of prior work in electrical engineering on adaptive filters. Machine learning has achieved some success in recent years due to the increased availability of GPUs and large data sets. However, the implementation in dynamic engineering systems that directly address societal challenges will require significant advances in real-time sensing, learning, and distributed decision-making. And this is over a wide range of applications, such as autonomous vehicles, health technologies, defense systems, and manufacturing. ECCS is delighted to work with you in promoting foundational and domain-specific advances in real-time learning to meet these exciting challenges. Let me now turn the floor over to Dr. Sanku Basar, Program Director in the SIES CCF Division.
Thank you, Dr. Bartoli. It's been said for several years now that a grand challenge in computing is the creation of machines that can proactively interpret and learn from data in real time, solve unfamiliar problems using what they have learned, and operate with the energy efficiency of the human brain. The genesis of this statement goes back to a computing grand challenge announced by the White House OSTP back in 2015. The webpage for this grand challenge is now archived, but is available by a Google search of the string, a nanotechnology-inspired grand challenge for future computing. Also, the transcript of this webcast will have that URL listed. While prior NSF solicitations along this line focused on energy efficiency, the current solicitation together with DARPA focuses on machine learning hardware with emphasis on real-time aspects. The program is also inspired by the success of machine learning algorithms in several areas, for example, in speech recognition, computer vision, etc., and at the same time, emergence of new challenges with greater emphasis on real-time applications in broad areas of autonomous vehicles and 5G applications. The purpose of this webcast is to inform our PI community about the NSF RTML program solicitation, describe collaboration with DARPA RTML broad agency announcement, and also to respond to questions from relevant parties such as potential applicants, that is the PIs, and university grant administrators. The main goal of the joint program with NSF and DARPA is to explore rapid development of efficient hardware architectures for machine learning, hereby abbreviated as ML, from continuous streams of real data. One of the DARPA as well as NSF interests is also to consider distributed machine learning in a cloud environment. There are two target application areas of interest to DARPA, inspired by autonomous vehicle scenario, which are design of, number one, high bandwidth image processing systems constrained by size, weight, and power. Number two, high bandwidth wireless systems such as 60 gigahertz 5G applications. DARPA may at some point provide training or test data for at least one of these two applications. It must be understood, however, that the aim of the NSF RTML program is primarily in keeping with NSF mission of basic and fundamental research. Whereas the goal of the DARPA RTML program is to create the tools and circuit development infrastructure, enabling rapid innovation in resulting machine learning hardware, possibly by leveraging the other ongoing DARPA programs on chip design. That said, collaboration between the two agencies will be through, number one, partnership supplements that we will describe a bit more detail in this presentation, and number two, 4 joint workshops mandatory for the awards, awardees, during phase 1 and 2 of the DARPA project. Some additional clarifications may be necessary in order to elaborate more on this particular joint collaborative effort between DARPA and NSF. First, it must be realized that NSF RTML and DARPA RTML are 2 distinct programs. Thus, the solicitation, proposal submission, review criteria, etc., for the 2 programs are different and follow guidelines of the respective agencies. Funding will not be commingled. That is, no co-funding will be provided by DARPA for NSF projects or by NSF for DARPA projects in general. However, the 2 programs have closely related technical goals. We hope that it may provide opportunities for collaboration between the grantees through joint workshops and partnerships to be described shortly. From a technical standpoint, NSF will strongly encourage but will not insist on the 2 DARPA target application areas, that is ML for image processing systems and 5G applications mentioned earlier. As for more specific technical goals for collaboration, the 3 years of DARPA project will be divided into phase 1 and phase 2, 18 months each, whereas NSF will provide 3-year continuing grants. The phase 1 of DARPA project will produce a silicon compiler benchmarked using standard machine learning techniques. At the end of phase 1, the DARPA silicon compiler will be made available to NSF grantees for evaluation of their methods. However, this use of DARPA silicon compiler by the NSF grantees is only optional, and if a more compelling evaluation method is available, then the PIs are welcome to use them. On the other hand, results of NSF awards after 18 months of NSF project will be made available to DARPA teams for implementation in phase 2. NSF projects are expected to seek hardware implementation schemes integrable into silicon platforms, including, for example, FPGAs and ASICs. Whereas DARPA is more focused on design of ASICs in 14 nanometer silicon CMOS technologies by considering metrics such as size, weight, power, latency, and platform adaptability. Once again, NSF will encourage but will not insist on the 2 DARPA target applications. The next slide provides an assessment of an assortment of standard machine learning techniques of interest, but proposal ideas need not be limited to these. They include feed-forward convolutional neural networks, recurrent networks, neuroscience-inspired architectures such as spike-time-dependent neural networks, architectures derived from classical psychophysics and statistical mechanics, supervised, unsupervised, or semi-supervised learning, or more modern techniques such as generative adversarial networks. The proposers may consult other approaches listed in both NSF solicitation and DARPA BAA, which include, for example, transfer learning, reinforced learning, reinforcement learning, or manifold learning, etc. Most importantly, however, for NSF RTML, routine implementations of known ML algorithms in existing hardware are not encouraged. Some more guidelines on relevant topics for this NSF program are hardware-software algorithm cross-layer co-design, co-design underscored. It's a key component of this program. Algorithms for all stages of training, for example, active learning, incremental learning in real time are within scope. Metrics of performance, size, weight, power, latency, and energy efficiency will be important. Approximate algorithms will be given due importance. As mentioned earlier, machine learning for distributed scenario may be considered. For digital hardware, data and memory path, for example, in or near memory computations may be considered. In addition to digital hardware, analog mixed signal hardware will also be within the scope of the NSF RTML program. We will now describe the NSF solicitation requirements. Information on award size for the NSF RTML program is as follows. The anticipated NSF funding amount is a total of $10 million for 3 years. There will be two types of awards in terms of their size. Small awards up to $500,000 for 3 years, and large awards up to $1.5 million for 3 years. We estimate a total of about 8 to 12 awards, both types taken together. Approximately $1 million of NSF program funds mentioned above will be reserved for partnership supplements. The anticipated type of award is continuing grant as opposed to standard grants, which means that each year's funds will be given through annual increments. As always, estimated program budget, number of awards, and average size of the award or duration are subject to availability of funds. The following additional budgetary information is specifically relevant to NSF RTML program. Proposals should budget for up to two project personnel to attend 4 joint NSF-DARPA workshops over the duration of the project, which is 36 months. The workshops are to be held in the Washington, D.C. area. Regardless of DARPA guidelines, as for most other NSF projects, inclusion of voluntary committed cost sharing will be prohibited for NSF proposals. Organizational eligibility and limit for NSF RTML program are as follows. There are no restrictions or limits on the number of proposals per organization. That is, an organization, for example, a university, can submit any number of proposals. U.S. academic institutions which perform research and with degree-granting educational programs in disciplines normally supported by NSF are eligible to be lead organizations. As in most NSF solicitations, academic institutions are defined by accredited 2- and 4-year institutions of higher education having a campus in the U.S. acting on behalf of their faculty. Involvement of an overseas branch of an U.S. institution, including sub-awards and consultants, must justify why the project activities cannot be otherwise performed within the NSF, within the U.S. PI eligibility and limitations for the NSF RTML program are as follows. An individual can participate as PI, co-PI, senior personnel, or consultant on no more than 2 proposals submitted in response to this solicitation. If more than 2 such proposals are received, then the first 2 proposals will be reviewed, accepted, and the remainder will be returned without review. It is important to remember that proposals submitted in response to this solicitation may not duplicate or be substantially similar, underscored, to the other proposals concurrently under consideration by DARPA. Similar proposals will be returned without review. However, there are no restrictions on an institution's as regards submitting an RTML proposal to both DARPA RTML program and NSF RTML program, other than, of course, duplicate or similar submissions mentioned above. More on NSF RTML PI eligibility and limitations. Principal investigators must be at the faculty level as determined by the submitting organization, that is, universities. DARPA Phase 1 performers who do not move on to DARPA Phase 2 will be eligible for NSF funding. Such PIs will need to partner with an existing RTML grantee on a large project for collaborating through partnership supplements. Such supplements will be given to large projects only. On the other hand, DARPA teams can include researchers from NSF RTML award as part of their DARPA Phase 2 funded effort through partnership supplements from DARPA. We now describe NSF RTML review criteria. The generic NSF review criteria will apply to all NSF RTML proposals. These include National Science Board approved merit review criteria, including intellectual merit and broader impact of the proposals under submission. NSF staff will also give careful consideration to integration of research and education and integrating diversity into NSF programs, projects, and activities. There are additional NSF RTML solicitation-specific review criteria for this program. All successful proposals need to address the following criteria carefully. Number one, synergy in machine learning, software, algorithm, and hardware co-design to meet the real-time machine learning goals of this program. Number two, for large proposals, the following additional review criteria will also be applied. One of them, strength of the project management and collaboration plan in project description. And the second one, strength of evaluation experimental plan, for example, in FPGA or ASICs, in the project description. Next, the timelines. The program announcement was already made on March 8, 2019. Proposal submission deadline for this NSF program is June 6, 2019, 5 p.m. proposals local time. Proposals received after this deadline will not be considered. We expect to review proposals in July 2019, and NSF awards are expected to be made pending availability of funds by September 2019. NSF projects are likely to begin in fiscal year 2019, ending in September 31st, 2019. A kickoff meeting mandatory for PIs to attend will be planned for fall 2019 together with DARPA. We have received some questions from the community. We will go over them now and try to answer them first. Subsequently, we'll take questions online. Question one, on silicon compilers. The solicitation reads, the DARPA Phase 1 objective is RTML hardware silicon compiler, and the outcome will be made available by DARPA to NSF awardees as an option to evaluate their proposed new RTML approaches. In the meantime, new techniques and results produced by NSF awardees during the first 18 months will be made available to DARPA project teams for them to implement in their Phase 2 efforts to explore novel ML architectures and circuits that will enable RTML. Question is, does this mean that NSF RTML projects cannot include a silicon compiler as this will be part of the DARPA RTML focus, or no such restrictions exist? Answer, no restriction exists. However, use of DARPA silicon compiler may set the stage for comparing techniques with other participants of the overall program. Question two on FPGA. We work in optimizing hardware-software co-design for neural models and FPGAs with intent of real-time performance. We noticed the following. Proposers should be aware that routine implementations of existing AI-ML algorithms in hardware, standard hardware, are not within scope of this program. Does this mean standard hardware, FPGAs, are not relevant to this program? Answer. A major goal of this joint program is to explore innovations in hardware-software algorithm co-design for AI-ML. Use of standard techniques as only one aspect of the project may or may not make it less compelling. We'll take one more question. Question three. The call mentions this is a continuing grant and not a standard grant. I want to make sure that this information is accurate. NSF guidelines state that the continuation of grant is dependent on results. Answer, continuing grant refers to the fact that annual installments of the three-year grant is given every year. It is one of the standard NSF procedures used for many grants currently. I think we are getting a number of questions online, so we will stop here. And we'll be joined by Dr. Jenshan Lin to address the online questions.
Operator, we're ready for the questions now.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one and record your first and last name clearly when prompted. Again, please press star then one at this time if you'd like to ask a question over the phone lines. One moment for your first question. Our first question comes from Jung Yu of Texas A&M. Sir, your line is now open.
This is Jung from Texas A&M. So I have two questions. So the first one is, will non-conventional electronics be considered, like spintronics and the memory resistor, be considered in this program? The second question is that besides real-time training, how about inference? Will inferences be part of this program?
I take the first one. Okay. So if you read the solicitation carefully, you will see that the emphasis is on technologies that can be integrated into silicon platform. As far as DARPA goes, their end goal is to produce, I believe, ASICs in 14-nanometer CMOS technologies, but we are not so very highly constrained. At the same time, if you cannot integrate the technology into silicon platform, that is not what we are looking for this particular program. NSF has other programs for such projects. You want to take the second question?
So could you repeat the second question?
The question is that besides real-time training, machine learning model training, will the runtime inference be part of this program?
I think the answer is yes, both.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Gupta of UCLA. So your line is now open.
Hi, this is Puneet Gupta, but my question was just answered, so you can move on. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from John Brown of ARM. So your line is now open.
Yes, hi, John Brown. Can the same PIs apply to both NSF and DARPA?
I can answer the question. The answer is yes, but you have to make sure that the proposed research that are different. They are different projects.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, please press star then one if you'd like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Marini of Colorado State University. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Marini Kess from Colorado State University. Thanks for the information. In the solicitation, it says that photonics and spintronic architectures are considered. Could you please elaborate more on, you know, what kind of photonics architectures might be of interest to this program? For example, does silicon photonics architectures for optical computing is of interest? Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything that can be integrated into silicon.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Christopher of Rochester Institute of Technology. So your line is now open.
Hi, this is Chris Kanon from RIT. I have my first question is, how is real-time defined, and is it okay for learning to be slower than inference? And my second question is, could you elaborate on what you mean by self-assessing systems? Thank you.
How is real-time defined?
Yeah, how is real-time defined?
Keep autonomous vehicle scenario in mind.
So real-time means that you're taking real-time stream data, which would be very large bandwidth, and you process them real-time, and then making decision real-time. And I'm not sure you have a second question.
Yes. So, well, the real-time question was regarding, I wanted to know, like, how do you quantify that? You know, I've seen a lot of different things where people say it's real-time and it's orders of magnitude different. The second question was, though, what does self-assessing systems mean? Like, yeah, I can come up with ideas, but I want to know what you guys thought. If you could elaborate.
We will evaluate the ideas in proposals. Can we move on to the next question?
Our next question comes from Amlan Ganguly of Rochester Institute of Technology. Your line is now open.
Hello. So for large category, I was wondering about the requirement on the prototyping or the evaluation platform. Is it required for the evaluation platform to span the entire proposed system or parts thereof? Can you comment on that expectation?
So I answer first. So the large project, you do need to include a prep for the implementation, say, for example, the FPGA or ASIC. And I'm not sure what you mean by the entire, so basically in entire the approach, but basically you have to actually to demonstrate, to show that your approach can be implemented.
So let me back up a little bit and say that one of the reasons to have this program is to explore how hardware, software, co-design can be done. So we will not only be looking for innovative hardware, we will also look at how algorithms or softwares can be modified to accommodate them into novel hardware. So if it's, and at the same time, we are not asking for routine implementation of standard machine learning algorithms that already exist. So if there is a proposal that simply implements one of the standard methods and the entire proposal is about evaluating the performance in a given hardware, that is not really of interest. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it clarifies, certainly. But because if the platform is either FPGA or ASIC, then is my understanding correct in assuming that not too many novel or emerging technologies could be accommodated to the degree that, okay, they have to be silicon integrable, right? Because you mentioned that many times.
Yeah, FPGA ASICs are just examples.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Gupta of The Ohio State University. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Abhishek Gupta. I'm wondering about whether an industry can be a partner as a whether an industry partner can be a subcontractor on the project, particularly whether NSF funds can be used to pay to the industry to work on the project alongside the PI from the university.
Okay, I'll take the question and give you an answer. So if you read the solicitation, actually this eligibility for the PI institute to submit actually only for the higher education institutes. That actually applied to your sub-awardee too. So the sub-awardee, the answer is no. I mean, if you want to involve your industrial partner, company, to work together, collaborator, that you can go through a GOLI, G-O-A-L-I, GOLI type of proposal. It actually become one type of a proposal in an SFPA PPG, and we encourage you to please read the section about the PA PPG to understand the requirement. It basically means that the industrial partner you can include, and then one of the person from the industrial partner company has to be a co-PI, but no NSF fund can be used to support the industrial partner. Hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, please press star then one if you'd like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Nalja of Ohio State University. Your line is now open. If you called in representing the Ohio State University, your line is now open. Moving on to our next guest, our next question comes from Sanjoy Das of Kansas State University. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Sanjoy Das from Kansas State University, and my question was, would you consider quantum devices like D-Wave's quantum annealing as hardware, or does the realizability have to be in silicon? I'm talking about less than a half a mil NSF-only proposal.
So if I understand your question correctly, I guess you're trying to use non-traditional the integration the technology to do this. If as long as you can provide a convincing story and show the pathway to eventual integration into a silicon platform and to implement hardware, software, code design, co-optimize the real-time machine learning, and then feel free to submit a proposal on your novel ideas.
But would it include, instead of silicon, if it's in quantum?
If you can show that you actually can achieve real-time machine learning with that kind of technology,
okay.
And then to meet the metrics.
Okay. Yeah.
The performance.
Thank you. As a reminder, please press star then one if you'd like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Alexander Arobia of Rochester Institute of Technology. Your line is now open.
Hello. So I also have two questions. The first one's brief, and pardon my ignorance if this is more of an obvious answer to it. For proposals to robust intelligence under IIS, would those conflict and count towards the count here one way or the other? Because I know that you're restricted as well on there. And my second question is, so I propose learning algorithms and models, particularly for neural networks. So if I'm in my proposal focusing on like a real-time learning algorithm for continual training of recurrent neural networks, my proposal needs to also emphasize, because you mentioned the co-design element, any hardware aspect to it as well, since, you know, my research focus is usually on algorithmic contributions. So I just need to make sure I'm crystal clear on that it needs to have a significant portion that talks about the actual hardware implementation and a research contribution towards the hardware community. Thank you.
Okay, the answer to the first question is no. If you have an IIS robust intelligence proposal, that has nothing to do with this program. That does not make you ineligible to submit one to RTML. The answer to the second question is more complicated. Yes, we are looking for hardware software co-design. And unless your proposal, although my understanding is that your line of work is more to do with machine learning algorithms or maybe software, but if the proposal has not enough considerations for implementation in hardware, that is probably not going to fare very well in comparison with other proposals which would have such considerations. But I would not, it's a question of degree. So I cannot give you a definite answer, yes or no.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Emery of UCI. So your line is now open.
Hi, this is Emery speaking. I have two questions. So one is about the result of NSF being made available to DARPA. Can you elaborate on whether we need to describe milestones and deliverables for this to happen? My second question is whether in hardware software co-design, whether the hardware can be hardware that's built already built, for example, Intel Loihi or IBM True North chip.
I'm not sure I understood the questions. Did you?
The first question, actually.
My first question was about the results being made available to DARPA. You mentioned during your talk that the NSF results will be made available to DARPA after 18 months. Do we need to have to propose deliverables, or what in what format would this data would be made available to DARPA?
Yes. So all grantees of this program, both on the DARPA side as well as on the NSF side, will have to attend these four DARPA workshops during the life of the program. And these workshops are meant to exchange the information, the results that's been obtained by the NSF PIs for the benefit of DARPA PIs and vice versa. So the hope is that after 18 months, by which DARPA will have finished its phase one, the results of the NSF projects will be made available to DARPA, and the silicon compiler that DARPA will produce by then will provide an experimental testbed for the algorithmic or software that the NSF projects will produce at that point of time.
Yeah, so let me just quickly add on to that. I think your question also referred to whether in the NSF proposal you need specific mention about a milestone on those deliverables. But this is not a DARPA proposal. This is more fundamental research. And also, when you write a proposal, you don't know who's going to be accepted, receive an award from DARPA side. So you don't know exactly, but you should keep in mind that we are encouraging the collaboration between NSF PIs and also DARPA grantees.
Okay, thank you. And my second question, if I can ask it again, is do we need to create new hardware for this, proposed new hardware, or can we use hardware that is already designed, such as the Intel Loihi chip or the IBM True North?
So if I may understand your question correctly, are you asking if your ultimate goal is to devise algorithms for better implementation in, let's say, IBM True North? That is certainly not what DARPA wants, as I understand. They want to produce chips of their own.
Okay.
Actually, they want to. Their goal is to mainly generate a framework or a platform in which multiple algorithms can be tested. So it's not for specifically for a commercially available thing like IBM True North.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sarma of Arizona State University. Your line is now open.
So I just have two questions. The one clarification: can we would proposals that demonstrate real time but using existing hardware COTS, off the shelf hardware components, be considered? And the second one is, if there is a requirement for silicon implementation, would demonstration via simulation using models be sufficient to do that? Or do we need to fabricate?
The second question first. NSF proposals do not need to fabricate.
Okay.
And the first question was? What was the first question?
The first question was, if we can demonstrate real-time performance on, say, inference using existing commercially available hardware?
I can answer that one. Because you heard our webinar's slide presentation earlier that using existing algorithms on the standard hardware is not what we try to encourage. We want to encourage hardware-software co-design. So if you come up with a better real-time machine learning algorithm, you want to use the existing hardware, standard hardware to test it, that's fine. But you bear in mind that it is going to result in the best performance considering the size, weight, and power, the performance metrics, and how this proposal going to compete with other proposals with a better hardware-software co-design approach.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Zhang of The Ohio State University. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Xinmiao Zhang from The Ohio State. So you mentioned co-design between the algorithm, software, and hardware. I'm wondering, for a small proposal, do we need to emphasize all these three aspects? Can we focus on two of them, for example, the algorithm and hardware design, hardware co-design, or the algorithm and the software co-design?
Okay, so I would think that hardware is an important element of this. So hardware, software would be fine. If you have some algorithmic components to it, that's good. But total absence of hardware is not what we have in mind.
And I want to add on to that that we have a distinction between a small project and large project. For large project, we actually require you to have the implementation, the plan, the demonstration, like, say, for example, FPGA or ASIC in the end. But for a small project, we say that required to have a roadmap to show that in the end, this actually can be implemented, and say, for example, FPGA ASIC.
Okay. And I have a second question. So So for the hardware design, actually, sorry, I forgot my second one. Okay, sorry.
That's okay. You can come back later.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tushar Krishna of Georgia Tech. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, this is Tushar Krishna from Georgia Tech. I just wanted to clarify what you mentioned about the NSF and DARPA, the number of proposals. So it is possible in theory for a PI to be part of three teams, two that are submitting to NSF and one that is submitting to DARPA, right? And as long as these are, of course, completely different proposals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Masood of the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Your line is now open.
My question regarding the large proposal, because since implementation is a big part, can we request some money for infrastructure or resource development for the implementation of the project?
I would say within reasonable limits, yes. But keep in mind that the DARPA, the larger projects, we are expecting that the larger projects will interact with DARPA, and there may be, through these partnership supplements, money available beyond the $1.5 million or whatever the amount of award is, although not very large amounts. Some partnership supplements may be available for those projects to interact with DARPA.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And as a reminder, please press star then one if you'd like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Kiyoti Krishna Das of Texas A&M University. Your line is now open.
Hello. Hi, I'm Jyoti Krishna Das from Texas A&M. So my question is regarding distributed machine learning, specifically in the slides I saw cloud environment. Can it be like co-designing distributed ML with hardware for edge-based training and inference?
I think that's what we had in mind in writing that small sentence.
Okay, and my second question is again a clarification regarding the fabrication part. Like earlier you said that fabrication is not a requirement for NSF proposals, but the large project, if you can just throw some light on, like is it requiring a hardware implementation on FPGA or ASIC fabrication, because like conflicting arguments?
I think as part of the NSF project, you do not need to fabricate ASICs, of course not. And since DARPA does that sort of things better, this is one of the reasons we are cooperating with DARPA in this program. So as long as your methods, the techniques, algorithms or software or whatever you develop as part of the NSF program is well-suited for testing and implementation in the DARPA framework, that would be enough.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Banish Bhafia of University of Texas at Dallas. Your line is now open.
I'm trying to find out if by real-time are you implying that the proposed hardware architecture, they should be field trainable, particularly if the data is unlabeled?
Yeah, we are open to that sort of things, and this is why we said both supervised, unsupervised, semi-supervised, all of those ideas are welcome. And this also has to do with that statement of self-assessment that someone else talked about earlier. The answer is yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kizu of Northwestern University. Your line is now open.
Hello. This is Chi from Northwestern University. I understand that the focus of the program, a key focus is on the design of the hardware and its co-design with the software. My question is, will runtime techniques, software techniques such as for monitoring and adaptation, will those be within the scope of the program?
was once asked before. I'm not sure of the question. Can you?
Wrong times.
Can you please repeat the question? We are not sure.
All right. My question is, I understand the key focus of the program is on the design of the hardware and the software. And my question is, will runtime techniques of runtime monitoring, adaptation, those techniques will also, can they, are they also within the scope if they are combined with design time techniques?
Runtime. Oh, I see.
Sorry.
Yes, of course.
Mm.
They are within scope, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nikolai of NC State University. Your line is now open.
Hello. To what degree integration with silicon would be acceptable? Could it be just an interface, like you know, the signal be sent or intercepted, or the device should be the hardware should be embedded on the silicon chip? Thank you.
You want to go?
Sure.
Okay.
So I guess first it depends on whether you're proposing a small project or large project. We definitely expect more on a large project. And as for small project, I mean, we actually only require to show a roadmap to the eventual implementation. So for the detail on that, your implementation plan, we'll leave it to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jack McDonald of RPI. Sir, your line is now open.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The topic is rapid machine learning, and the question is whether an FPGA is going to be fast enough for the rapidity that you're looking for. And the related question is, suppose we could come up with a device that would make the FPGA 10 times faster. Would that be of interest to your program?
Yeah, the answer is yes. FPGA is a part of consideration here, of course. And you can somehow come up with a technique to make it faster to enable this real-time machine learning. Yeah, we'd like to see that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Ferreira of University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. Your line is now open.
Hello. I'm Darshika Perra from University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. I have two questions. One is, I'm planning to include the FPGA prototyping in the evaluation plan for a small proposal, although the proposal call indicates it's only for the long proposal, like the large proposals. Is that okay?
Yes, if you can fit into your budget.
Okay, budget description. And the second question is, what if this is a pattern? So what will happen?
Sorry, let me see your question. Could you repeat again?
What happens if this leads to a pattern?
A pattern?
Yeah.
This particular program is no different from any other NSF program in that respect.
Okay, so that part doesn't own it or not like that?
You are submitting a proposal to NSF, and all the rules and regulations of an NSF program will be just like any other NSF award.
Okay, thank
you.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Peter Burrell of USC, so your line is now open.
Yeah, hi, this is Peter. So I wanted to know about real-time verification of the machine learning system, if that's in scope, because if you're going to be changing network parameters on the fly, a safety-critical system like an autonomous vehicle could go off the rails. Is that in scope, and could it be done in hardware or in the cloud, given you're in a distributed machine learning environment?
The question is if this is in scope or not. Is that right?
Yes.
Very much so, Peter. Look forward to your proposal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mick Singh of NC State. So your line is now open.
Hello. So I just have a quick question. So you mentioned that there will be 8 to 12 awards given out. What is the rough kind of numbers for small versus large?
We don't have a set number at this moment. Depends on the proposal submission and the quality of the proposal after review.
All right.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Kim of Colorado State University. Your line is now open.
Hello, I have a question about how general the algorithm has to be itself, so the code design itself. So there is a broad category of different types of machine learning techniques. Can it be specific to, say, for example, supervised learning, or does it have to be more broad than that? What are you guys looking for?
I guess we'll leave that for you to determine what would be the best way to present your research idea approach. Should it be broad? Should it go deeper on one thing?
Okay, okay. So all of that would be within scope, having a generic type of hardware software code design for ML in general, or having something more specific to it, supervised or reinforcement learning itself is all within scope. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should discuss with your co-PI if you have a co-PI.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Orobi of Rochester Institute of Technology. Your line is now open.
Hello again. So my question again goes back to the idea of hardware versus software. So if we have for prior results in our work to motivate our proposal, simulation results, but of course these are on standard architectures or software results, let's say strong positive results, and then in our proposal you said we could within reason request money for hardware, you know, for example, for these implementations. Is the panel still looking for strong prior evidence also at the hardware level, or just a strong convincing argument? For example, when you propose an algorithm, you might be able to present a convincing argument that like a spiking neural architecture would work very well on these certain types of systems. So I just want to make sure that if we don't have necessarily hardware results prior, but strong positive simulation and software results with strong potential for hardware, would that be within reason as a strong proposal by the committee?
Okay. Yeah, we'll leave it open to you. Because they're actually going to be determined by the panel, by the reviewers. There's many different ways of doing that. The ultimate goal is I want to see that the novel approach to achieve a real-time machine learning. So if you can show convincing the argument to implement that, whether you have prior result on the hardware side or software side, we leave that open.
The team, if you submit a larger project, I'm assuming you will have more than one co-PI, PI and co-PI, and the team
right.
of team of researchers should have at least some, if not prior work, some expertise on hardware design as well to properly demonstrate that this can be done.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from John Brown of ARM. So your line is now open.
Hi, John from ARM. And yeah, naturally, we have the hardware aspects of ML well in hand. And the proposer's day has passed, so I was wondering how can we get connected to some of these university researchers that are more pure ML to partner up?
That is something for you to do.
I just wondered if there was a common site where people register or something of that nature, but I guess not.
No, we don't.
Okay.
Thank you. There are no further questions. Thank you.
Okay.
So thank you very much. We look forward to your proposals, and happy proposal writing.
And again, if you had a question, feel free to send us an email. Thank you.
Thank you. This